This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Public officials know to anticipate pushback from constituents who don't agree with their policies, but a report from the Brennan Center for Justice says state and local officials have faced increased threats and intimidation since the 2020 election. And this year has seen two assassination attempts on former President Donald Trump, along with increasingly hostile rhetoric about women in public office. Joining me now to discuss their experiences as elected officials are Cincinnati Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney. Welcome back, Vice Mayor Kearney.
Thank you, Lucy May. I really love being here. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you. And Gulf Manor Village Council Member Brittany Krimer. Thanks for being here, Council Member Krimer.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Great to have you both. Former President Trump, as I mentioned, he was shot in an assassination attempt earlier this year. There was another apparent assassination attempt just a couple weeks ago. As an elected official, Vice Mayor Kearney, what goes through your mind when you hear about something like that?
That I think the hate rhetoric is just too prevalent and too strong, and we really have to change that culture. I mean, civility is important. You know, we want people to express themselves and to feel heard. But when we have, candidates out there talking about hate and encouraging insurrections, this is what we get. And so that has to change.
What about you, Councilmember Krimer? What was going through your mind when you heard about these, you know, very violent, extreme situations?
I think that what really hits me is that we don't know how to have conversations as a society. And I think that's where we get this increase in violence, whether it's through politicians or others that we just don't understand, when we have access to all these weapons and we don't know how as a society to have a dialogue. We debate each other. And that's, I think, what you see in politics today.
I referenced this report issued by the Brennan Center for Justice earlier this year that found elected officials in state and local offices have been facing this increasing level of intimidation. You've both mentioned this reduction in kind of civil discourse. What are some of the other things you think might be contributing to that? Vice Mayor Kearney?
I can say one thing. I really like what Brittany said about just having discourse and talking to each other and understanding other points of view, because that's the only way we really get things done. You can't have everybody agree with you all the time. You know, it's really important to bring everybody to the table. I think it's something we fail to do a lot. I know talking to people in Congress, so we go to the federal level, a lot of them say, you know, when congressional sessions are over, everybody goes home. There was a time when Republicans and Democrats, everybody would kind of get together and make friends and or at least, you know, become colleagues in a sense of getting to know each other, getting to know each other's families. And that made a big difference. So I think on a personal level, we're really missing that. We're so busy, I think, you know, making sure that we're right and getting our point across and, you know, getting our side to win, that we're not thinking about, we're not thinking enough about the people we're serving. And they are served better when we're all working together.
What do you think, Councilmember Krimer? What are some of these other factors that are you think could be contributing to this increase in hostility?
I think that we're seeing a change across to who we want to represent us, right? We want more people that look like us in office. And I think that when people are afraid of losing their power, we behave in really weird ways and really harmful ways. So I think that's part of what this is. We're fighting for more representation, whether that's women, whether that's people of color, minorities, people with disabilities, all sorts of representation. And that's scaring the people that are holding a lot of the power currently. And I think that's where we see people behave in all sorts of scary ways that we wouldn't expect as a society, because we don't know how to have conversations with each other.
And, you know, that's true, because another thing is I think people feel that if one side wins, the other side loses. Mm-hmm. So if we get more people of color and more women in office, that means, you know, other folks are losing. It's not a pie. Yeah, it's not a pie. We can all be in this together. And so representation is so important, and we can all help each other out. Everybody can actually move forward together. You know, me moving forward doesn't mean you're moving back. And so we have to get out of that win-lose, crabs in a barrel, pushing each other down to try to get on top. That's just not healthy for us.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about hostility that elected officials are facing. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Vice Mayor Kearney, I'm going to start with you because you've been in office, I think, a little bit longer than Councilmember Kreimer. But have you noticed a change in what you've experienced, whether it's from constituents or colleagues, just in terms of the quality of discourse and the way people communicate?
Well, you know, you're asking someone who came in during a really difficult time. You know, I came in 2020 in March when the pandemic was starting, everything was closing down. 2 months later in May, George Floyd was murdered. And so things were really rough. So I can't say that it's worse now. I do think that we as women are still fighting some old stereotypes. And so I just want to go to the debate that Vice President Harris had with former President Trump, and how a lot of comments were, you know, look at her, she kept smiling, she didn't get mad, this is like what's expected of women, like we can't get mad. I think she did a great job, and I was saying the same thing, and then I realized, well, wait a minute, why are we making that a standard that women can't get mad? I mean, we can get mad, we can, you know, I mean, we know how to fight back too, and we do. Women are strong, but I think a lot of times people think if we're going to get ahead, we have to, you know, be milder and meeker, and we don't. And I think that's just a stereotype that really keeps us back a lot. And it makes, I think, a lot of women not want to run for office. And so we need to encourage women to get out there and run. It's okay to be out there and to fight and to stand up, because that's what we do. We're good at that. And we're good at bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And we're good at negotiating. Women are so great at that. And so it's something we really have to encourage more women to get into politics.
Councilmember Kreimer, what have you experienced as a council member in Gulf Manor? I mean, what are some of the things that you've experienced that maybe you weren't expecting or have been uncomfortable or hostile, whatever, what you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot about what Jan Michelle said. You know, when I, before I was even sworn in, I sat down with somebody in our administration and we were talking for about an hour about what it is that my thoughts, what I wanted to change, my wishes for the village. And they stopped me mid-conversation and said, you know, you've got such a vast knowledge, what master's program did you attend? And they just could not understand how I had such knowledge or vast experience. And for me, you know, I shared with them that I do not have a master's degree, but I do have over 15 years of leadership experience. And that still wasn't enough for this person. And, you know, I think that they meant their statement as a compliment, but I truly did feel it as the insult that I think it is to me and to all women, that we have to have all of this additional degrees or letters behind our name. You know, Black women are the most educated in our country, but the most underemployed. That's a great example of the issues that I think we face on a regular basis. So whether it's walking down the street or having lunch with somebody in power in my village, it's the same issues day in and day out. And I think they're in a broader context that we just experience it in a very public way, whether it's me getting backlash for asking questions in a public meeting. You know, I was told at a particularly spicy meeting that I was an embarrassment to our village because of how I behaved, and my behavior was asking questions. There is this multi-million dollar development plan that our previous council had approved. I am the chair of I'm the chair of executive committee, and we didn't get any information. So I was asking lots of questions that, in my opinion, should have been, you know, given ahead of time, but it wasn't. And later I was told I was an embarrassment because I asked questions directly, which a man would be, you know, applauded for. And yeah, I think the really good thing is about that story is that I had a community member who, in the middle of that meeting, actually ran down at night in like a February, so it's dark, and she came because she wanted to watch in person, is what she told me. She wanted to see somebody asking the hard questions, and she really appreciated that I was doing that, even though I was very publicly getting backlash for simply asking, where's the data to support this development? Mm-hmm.
Right. And a man would have been expected to ask those questions. That's a really good point where they're saying, you know, you're being too aggressive. You're being too assertive.
Exactly.
Like, why are you questioning this project? But that's your job. That's what you have to do. So, and you know, you just reminded me of you know, the, and I talk about Stacey Abrams all the time in that book, Leading from the Outside, where she said often women, and she's like, we have to get over this, women are afraid of stepping up because we think we don't have enough. We don't have enough education. We don't have that master's degree. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough experience. She's like, you've got enough where you are right now. And we have to know that, you know, it's not the, you know, we're not imposters. We're qualified no matter how much education, money, experience we have or don't have. We're qualified because we are the people. We're part of the people. And it's the people working for the people. And so you're there because you have the passion to make a change and to represent your public, to really do positive things for them and to fight for them. And so that's something we all have. And so everybody who has that passion, get out there and run for office.
That's right.
We do have a, I'm sorry, we have a caller on the line. I want to take real quick. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling. What's your comment or question?
Thanks, Lucy, and thanks for the discussion, council people. I just want to call in and suggest that council seriously think about revisiting the issue of election districts. They're smaller. They're more walkable. People can gather more often for discussions about issues that they think are of importance. The citywide system, you know, I think was primarily driven by corporate interests 100 years ago, and I just think it leaves a lot of people unheard, you know, that brews discontent. So civility with, you know, meeting with your neighbors one-on-one, talking about the issues, whether it's recreation, transportation. A good example, I sent a letter to every council member about a recent change in electric vehicle parking, and I didn't get a single response from a single council member or from the mayor's office. And it just shows. You know,
apology for
like
that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tom. I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold. Your call's breaking up there a little bit.
I'm going to go look for Tom's email.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. I missed that. I'm sorry about that. I'm sure other council people missed it, too, or the answers on the way. But we try to respond to all the emails. It's tough, but we really work hard on doing that.
Sure. Do you think having smaller groups that you're representing makes conversation any easier? I mean, Councilmember Krimer, you're in a smaller community. I think it's fair to say the Village of Golf Manor is smaller than the city of Cincinnati.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think that makes conversation any easier?
You know, Jan and I were actually, Jan Michelle and I were actually talking about this earlier because Golf Manor is about 17 streets. It's a quarter of a mile or half a mile, square mile. I think there are pieces that make it easier. You know, I walk the dog and almost every time I'm stopped by somebody talking about when's the next council meeting, when are we doing a community event, or giving feedback about something that they didn't appreciate. So I think there are elements of that, but there's also elements that make that much more difficult. Everybody knows where I live, right? Which is a beautiful, but also can be scary if people, you know, don't agree with you. So I think that's something that I really had to consider, you know, that it's Mayberry where I live. They can knock on that door and give me direct feedback, which may or may not be received well.
Yeah. What do you think of?
Well, you know, we should always keep an open mind to how we can do things better. But one thing that really helps, and, you know, in this city of 309,000 people, is we have 52 neighborhoods, and most of them have community councils. And so that's really important that people go to community council meetings and that we make sure that everyone in the community has a chance to actually be involved with that, whether it's in person, hybrid, you know, Zoom, getting emails, you know, newsletters. We have to make sure that those voices are heard. But to have a really strong community council presence helps a lot because we can go to those meetings and hear concerns like, you know, OTR about, you know, the parking issue was something big. And so I know they had a really strong community council meeting about that, and they will again. I think it's tonight. But that kind of thing where you have to, you can't, we can't sit in City Hall and think we're understanding what's going on. We have to get out there at community events and meetings and really talk to people. And that's really part of the joy of this job is meeting people all over the city.
Yeah. Thanks for that call, Tom. We really appreciate it. What, if anything, Vice Mayor Kearney, did you do to try to prepare yourself for what it would be like to be an elected official? Because you're somebody who's done a lot of things. You still do a lot of things. but this was your first run for office. This was your first time becoming an elected official. What did you prepare
How did you prepare yourself for that?
Well, being on council was a surprise to me. They asked me to, you know, put my name in the hat back in March of 2020. And 2 weeks later, I was walking into City Hall, which was closed down with no orientation or anything. So I really didn't have time to prepare. But I did ask people, like, you know, my husband used to be Ohio Senate Minority Leader. And I always mentioned his advice, which was bring everybody to the table. Don't just look for people who agree with you. You really, you're there to represent everybody. So you have to be open to hearing various points of view. And that's been difficult because, you know, for a lot of hot issues, people will say, oh, you know, you're not supporting my side. And I said, I am. I'm just bringing the other side and the other sides to the table, too, because I want to hear everybody. And then I think that way to get together, we come up with a really good answer. It's like connected communities. We've got the task force going on now with the working groups where different viewpoints are there saying, you know, they, you know, they're just talking about how to get to a good answer to really make it better, not to overturn connected communities. I know that's a whole nother conversation, but to make it better, what can we add to it? What policy can we put in place? And that takes people who disagree with each other to really hash out these issues. And I think that's important.
What about you, Councilmember Kramer? How did you prepare to, or, you know, what did you do to kind of be prepared in every way to become an elected official?
Yeah, I think, you know, I never actually wanted to be an elected official. It's an important thing to know. But I, as soon as community members sort of pushed that they wanted me to run, it was happenstance that the Women's Fund from Greater Cincinnati Foundation had launched this Appointed Civic Leadership Academy program. And my initial thought was, let me share it out to everybody else and get them to do this and get them to run. That didn't happen. I ended up doing it. But that program, as well as we reached out, I've been always in the background of politics. I'll door knock for you. But, you know, so reaching out to mentors, people that I've known that have done it in the past, or other friends who are elected officials in smaller areas. You know, I have a great friend, Neil Kelly, in Deer Park, reaching out to him. What is it that I don't know? Going through Appointed and meeting all sorts of mentors like Jan Michelle, Commissioner Driehaus, Jessica Miranda. We have that program has really given us the opportunity to, I don't know the answers. I can only read what's provided, right? But I can reach out to those that have gone before me and really, you know, lean on them for the expertise.
Yeah. And you're a mentor in that program, aren't you, Vice Mayor Kern?
Well, I don't know how much I'm really contributing, but I do
a
stop
lot.
In, and I'm just, like, so proud of all of the women in that program and Reginy for really leading it. And so it's wonderful. And we really need more of that.
We do.
Because part of it is that community of people encouraging each other and getting over, you know, these barriers. You know, another thing that happens, women have a harder time fundraising. Mm-hmm. And we often feel that people don't want to contribute to our campaigns until they see we have a chance of winning. So that makes it really hard at the beginning. They want to be last in, like, well, we'll wait until we see how well you're doing, and then we'll think about contributing. So, you know, contributing to campaigns is a challenge as well. So we encourage people to have faith at the beginning. Have faith and know that this woman is definitely serious and is going to get out there and fight hard. And so support her at the beginning.
Yeah. We've been talking about hostility that elected officials are facing these days, more now maybe than years ago. What would your advice be, Councilmember Kramer, to women and for other candidates who are considering a run for public office but are a little nervous because of all this hostility that's out there these days?
I'd say still do it. You know, even if you're scared, still do it. I think that there are a lot of resources out there, whether it's the Appointed program, whether it's Lead Ohio. There's all sorts of programs that are either specific to underrepresented groups or to women specifically that are there to support you. And remind yourself, I have to remind myself this often, that I wanted to be here, others wanted me to be here, and that I deserve to be here. You know, I wouldn't have won
Absolutely.
The election if that was not the case. So in the hard moments or where I feel like quitting, I remind myself of that.
And she's doing a hell of a job. So I'm really glad you're there.
Thank you.
She's wonderful.
I've been talking with Cincinnati Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney and Gulf Manor Village Council Member Brittany Krimer. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks, Lucy. I enjoyed you as always. And Brittany, good to see you too.
You too.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.